Shall we pray? Father, we give you glory and honor, worship and praise for the treasures of your name that has been opened to us, O God, through your word. That as your spirit speaks, O God, of the realities of who you are and all that you are, as you explain, O God, the I am of your name, in the fullness of Jesus Christ, we are indeed a people blessed to receive and realize, O God, that covenant of peace that you mean to write into our inward parts, Lord. That covenant of peace that will enable us to stand in the high places that you have ordained in our lives. For we are morning stars, sons of the living God, that are being fashioned and formed, O God, in the fullness of Jesus Christ. He is the bright morning star. He is the blueprint for a new creation. And as we receive and realize this growing peace in our inward parts, Father, you are completing, O God, your word in our lives. You are performing your word in our lives. You are unfolding a new creation, created in Christ Jesus, brought forth by the Holy Spirit, the workmanship of the living God. And Father, as you fashion each one of us, Lord, you are raising us, O God, into positions of high promise, great promise, positions of authority, positions, O God, with great spheres of influence, Lord. And we thank you for what you have chosen, O God, to manifest in our lives in your righteousness, Lord. We thank you that we are your workmanship, Father. We thank you that what you have intended in our lives is far beyond any of our abilities, singular or collective, Father. And what you are manifesting in our lives, O God, is going to be, O Lord, an awesome wonder, O God, that is going to fill, O God, the heavens and the earth. For the church will manifest the fullness of Jesus Christ, and the fullness of Jesus Christ will fill all in all. We thank you for the peace in which this realization will come forth. And as this peace manifests, O God, your word declares that the God of peace will crush Satan under our feet, Lord. We celebrate that reality. We celebrate that covenant word, Father. We declare it, O God, before you, as your righteousness fulfilled in our lives. You are Yahweh Shalom, and Yahweh Shalom, O God, is your victory realized in our lives. We want to thank you for that victory. And we want to walk into that victory, Lord. We want to see that victory manifest as a living witness within us, so that we can rebuke, O God, the works of the evil one, that we can take authority, O God, over situations and circumstances, that we can manifest spheres of influence that are unveiled, O God, in the sovereignty, O God, of the living God. So we pray that you will train us, that you will write your word in our hearts, that you will fashion and form our inward parts, O God, into a heart of flesh, Lord. That you will truly, O God, unfold in us, O God, a living witness of your righteousness, Lord. We pray that you will bring forth this creative work in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to the book of Judges. We are on the subject of the name of God. And in the book of Judges, we find that one of the names of God is Yahweh Shalom or Jehovah Shalom. Yahweh Shalom or Jehovah Shalom. And this is an important name. This is an important name. It was a name that was revealed to Gideon. So, Judges chapter 6. Verse 22 to 24. When Gideon saw that he was the angel of the Lord, he said, "Alas, O Lord God, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." And the Lord said to him, "Peace to you, do not fear, you shall not die." Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and named it, "The Lord is Peace," or Yahweh Shalom. To this day it is still in Ophrah of the Abiezerites. Praise the Lord. Yahweh Shalom. We started this name last week and we talked about the importance of that peace or the meaning of that peace. And today we want to continue to pursue this reality of peace because it is a very important reality that is within us. So let's turn to Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 10. "For the mountains may be removed and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you. And my covenant of peace will not be shaken, says the Lord who has compassion on you." My covenant of peace will not be shaken. So Yahweh Shalom is a covenant name. And that covenant is open to us in a peace. That covenant is open to us in a peace. And this peace is prophetically symbolized in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9. Verses 3 and 4. Let's read for context from verse 2. For there was a tabernacle prepared, the outer one, in which were the lampstand and the table and the sacred bread. This is called the holy place. And behind the second veil there was a tabernacle which is called the Holy of Holies, having a golden altar of incense, and the ark of the covenant covered on all sides with gold, in which was a golden jar holding the manna, and Aaron's rod which budded, and the tables of the covenant. Now in this Ark of the Covenant are the prophetic symbols of what God means to manifest in terms of covenant in each and every one of us. We are each living tabernacles of God. And in these living tabernacles of God, God means to unveil His name. And it's very important for us to recognize that as God unveils His name within us, He's fashioning our inward parts so that we will be alive to Him. Ultimately, the intent of the revelation of the name of God is so that we will actually come to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. So God has to build a church so that we will become sons of God in the reality of loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the realization of this love will be manifested in us in a growing peace. And Isaiah the prophet announces that that peace is indestructible. That peace is indestructible. Alright? This is very important for you and me to understand. That what God wants to do in our lives is manifest the indestructible. Because we are meant to live forever. We are meant to be a blessing to the universe that God has created forever. We are meant to become creatures of destiny. And this will be achieved because all this is the righteousness of God. It is not the righteousness of man. When you look at the scriptures, you will find that in the Old Testament, God demanded man to be righteous before Him. And if you read through the Old Testament, you will find that those demands could not be met. That no matter how hard man tried, he just didn't have the nature and the character to receive and realize the promises of God. No matter how great those promises were, and no matter how God manifested his miraculous power in the history of the nation of Israel, ultimately we find that they failed. So in the new covenant, God is manifesting something that is entirely different. God is manifesting something that is of the righteousness of God. And this peace that is indestructible is not the peace that you concoct in the world system. It is the peace that is genuinely manifested inside of you. It arises as you realize a rest in God. And we did that in the last name that we covered, Yahweh Mukadesh, the Lord God who sanctifies us. He sanctifies us in a rest. Right? And the result of that rest is so that He can build a peace inside of us. And in that peace, He can fashion and form a covenant in the blood of the Lamb within us. So that we will be able to stand in positions by the Spirit in the name of Jesus. In positions, high positions. And be able to hold the authority of the living God. And be able to function in that authority of the living God. In the steadfastness of a peace that is His work in our lives. Unless God works inside of us, we will not be able to realize those high positions that God is calling us to stand in. It's very important for you to understand this, right? That the position that God is calling us to stand in is a position that is of the righteousness of God. It is not of the righteousness of man. If you attempt to live by the law, you will only find that it is your righteousness, and your righteousness will not attain the purposes of God. But if you live in the name of Jesus, you will realize that God will fashion and form inside of you a covenant of peace that is indestructible. He will build purpose into you. As you answer God's call on your life, as you move into the ministry that God has called you, whether it's a small ministry or whether a big ministry, it doesn't really matter. The important thing is that you learn how to function in the Lord your God. The woman who gave two mites knew God in a way that most people don't even understand who God is. She gave two mites. You cannot do very much with two mites in the natural. But Jesus Christ recognized those two mites as being far more valuable than all the bags of gold that others brought in. For the simple reason that that woman had a reality of God that will always work in her life and take her into the greater promises of God. So the New Testament is about the righteousness of God. The New Testament is about the workmanship of God. The New Testament is about what God does with you rather than what you do with yourself. If you try and be a Christian in your own strength, you will end up just like the people of the law. Moses himself was unable to enter into the promised land, right? Because he lost his temper with God. The demands, the pressure was just too great. But Jesus Christ, even though he sweat blood in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was able to arise and walk into something that was actually the righteousness of God. And what Jesus Christ consecrated for us on the cross is what is going to bring us into a peace that passeth all understanding. A peace that is going to be described in a covenant that is going to be written into our hearts by the finger of God. And we've done teaching on all of this, right? You know that, right? So it's very important for you to understand that those three symbolisms of the manna, of the tablets of the testimony, and that rod of Aaron that budded is all represented within us. All right? God is building us, right? What is he building within you? He's building a heart of flesh. That hidden manna, right, is to manifest that heart of flesh. And in this heart of flesh, he's going to develop, right, a witness that is going to bear fruit in the righteousness of God. That is what is the meaning of Aaron's rod that budded. And we did teaching on this as well, so I'm not going to repeat that. All right? So you need to understand that what God is building inside of you is a living covenant in which you are called to function by God all the time. When you function by God all the time, you will die to your flesh. If you function in your own strength, you will never die to your flesh because your strength is of your own flesh. But if you learn how to function by God in the witness that he is building inside of you, in the word that he is writing into your heart, in the substance of that word that he is communicating into your heart so as to create you, you will attain the righteousness of God. You will become the work of God. You will become a new creation in Christ Jesus. You will walk by the Spirit in the name of Jesus continuously. Right? You will become the workmanship of God. You will become his creation. And that's what God is talking about today. That Yahweh Shalom is the reality of realizing the peace that passeth all understanding. Realizing the greatness of God in your own life. And that's what God is interested in. He wants to make you sons of God. So God wants to manifest his name within us. This was foreshadowed in the book of Chronicles, right? We have done this. Let's read it again. 2 Chronicles chapter 6, or chapter 7 rather. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 16. Now this is a verse that Solomon speaks, right? At the time in which the temple was consecrated. Right? And this is what the Lord tells him. Verse 16, "For now I have chosen and consecrated this house that my name may be there forever." Now, the temple of Solomon is no longer standing today. It is gone. Right? So what God is manifesting is that he is talking about a house that will stand forever. That my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. So if you look at what Jesus was going to do with us, this is what he was going to do. John 17 verse 6. John 17 verse 6. "I manifested thy name to the men whom thou gavest me out of the world."
So what has Jesus come to do? He has come to manifest the name of God to us. Look at verse 26. And I have made thy name known to them, and will make it known, that the love wherewith thou didst love me may be in them, and I in them. What is so important of that word I? When Jesus says I, that I represents the manifested name of God. Jesus is the manifestation of the name of God. Right? And he says, I in them. All right? Let's turn to John chapter 2. John chapter 2, verse 19. Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. The Jews therefore said, it took 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking of the temple of his body. So here we are, each one of us a member of the temple of his body. Amen. And what is the purpose of the temple of this body? Is so that God can manifest his name in us. For how long? Forever. And when God manifests his name in us, what will be the testimony of it? That his eyes and his heart will be revealed in us forever. Eyes, what does that mean? That we will see through the eyes of God. His heart, that we will be alive to the thoughts and intents and desires of the Father's heart. Are you listening? Right? That's what God wants to build in us. And as more and more of the presence of God manifests in us, it results in a peace within us. Right? Although things may be shaking around us, you will begin to find that it is a testament in almost all of our lives that there is a continual growth of a peace inside of us. Sometimes we can't even explain why we are at peace on the inside when everything in our lives may be turning around. Right? And God is building something. He's building something beyond what we understand in and of ourselves. He's doing a work that is of the stature of the living God. So Yahweh Shalom is at work in your heart, and he's building inside of you a covenant. A covenant, right? A covenant that is going to be indestructible. In the reality of that covenant that God builds in us, and it is him who is building it, you and I will crush Satan under our feet, right? Romans chapter 16, verse 20. That the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Right? It's a personal verse to you and me. That's where God is taking us, right? So if you go back and you look at the context in which this name Yahweh Shalom was introduced, you will find that God takes Gideon and he says, you will go as one man and you will defeat the Midianites, right? So he takes him into battle with 300 men against a whole vast army. And that army runs away in disarray. Right? And God does a work with Gideon. He manifests a victory with Gideon. Correct? So the reality of this peace within us is a testimony of God's victory in our lives. So the victory that Jesus Christ realized on the cross is meant to be demonstrated in each and every one of our lives. And the result of that victory will be a people who will be at peace with God. A people who will overcome sin, sickness, and disease. A people who will stand in the peace of God in the reality of an indestructible life. Of an indestructible life. Are you listening? And all this is the work of God. It is going to be manifested in us as the workmanship of God. It is going to be his creation in our lives. Amen. So if you go back to the Old Testament, and if we just had the Old Testament, you will find that the Bible is full of promises, but those promises cannot be realized. In the New Testament, God gives us his word in a person. And in that person, God says, all of my word is fulfilled. All of my word is tried and tested. And all of my word that I communicate to you in the name of Jesus, by the testimony of Jesus, it will come to fulfillment in your life. And as Christians, we have to discover the righteousness of God. If we keep on trying to live by mere principles and by mere expressions of our righteousness, we are going to fail. And time again, we have seen in church history, we have failed many times. Right? And the lessons to be learned from that is that we must allow the Lord to come and reign in his temple. Right? We have to teach our people to receive and realize what God can give them. Hmm? Are you with me? Right? And this peace is a covenant. It is indestructible. All right? So what is the law of this covenant? The law of this covenant is based on this. Romans chapter 8, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. What is he saying? That this is the law of life, that you live by the Spirit in Christ Jesus. That's what he's saying. And if you live by the Spirit in Christ Jesus, you will realize the peace that will destroy the works of the law of sin and death. Hmm? And you will be set free. Earlier on, Paul talks about himself from verse 18 in chapter 7. He says, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me." Now, this is a person who is talking and he's an apostle. Right? He's writing the book of Romans, which is the deepest theological book in the entire scripture. Right? And he's talking about himself and he says, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For the wishing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not." What is he saying? I can't do what is right. Hello? Yeah? "For the good that I wish, I do not do. But I practice the very evil that I do not wish." Now the person who is writing these words is an apostle. God has used him to do many great things. Hmm? He's going to write 2/3 of the New Testament. And this apostle says, "I have evil dwelling in me." Right? So then he says, "But if I am doing the very thing I do not wish, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wishes to do good." So you see, this evil has to be conquered. A battle has to be fought. Right? He says, "I joyfully conquer with the law of God in the inner man. Where I have been born again, I joyfully conquer with God. But I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin which is in my members." So there are passions that sometimes cripple us. There are passions of anger, lust, or whatever it is that sometimes cripple us. Passions of visions of grandeur of our own selves, our pride, our arrogance, right? He says, "But I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind. I know that I should be doing something right, but something prevents me from doing it." So then he says in verse 24, "Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death?" And then he says, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." So what is he saying? Only through God, through Jesus Christ, can we be set free. And that's the battle that God wants to manifest in your life and my life. That is what shalom means. Shalom means a peace that comes forth as God wins the victory in your life. Provided you are willing to allow God to work in your life. Many times we refuse to allow God to work in our lives. We find excuses. We blame the other person. Right, we find excuses in our situations and circumstances. "Oh, pastor, you don't understand what my life is like." You know, "Oh, pastor, you don't understand what my situation is like." "Oh, pastor, you don't understand what my background is like." You know, and we make an excuse. What are we saying? You know, I will be like this forever. Right, and that's the wrong confession, because faith is the substance of hope, the evidence of the unseen, isn't it? Right, you have to see what God is able to do with you. If you keep on seeing what is wrong with your life and what is wrong with the people around you and what is wrong with those situations and circumstances you're in, you will die in those circumstances, brother. Right? You will die in it. Right? Not only you will die, those around you also will die. Right? So you have got to get out of it, and you have to allow that victory that Jesus has bought for you in his blood to be manifested in your life. You have to realize a new reality. You have to rise. Yes. When sin afflicts us, we are all wretched people. And we know that. But you have got to get out of it. And you've got to get out of it. And the only way you can get out of it is to take hold of the Lord your God and draw from him that which is of his righteousness. Right? You have to allow that victory of the Lamb to be won in your life. Hmm? And that's what the Holy Spirit is there, to teach you how to live in Christ Jesus, so that you will be set free from the law of sin and death. You can be set free. You are being set free. The moment you were born again, how many things were broken in your life? What, did you fast 40 days and 40 nights before you got set free? One simple act of God, when you recognize Jesus Christ as Lord, and so many strongholds broke in your life. What is God trying to tell you? That I've got that kind of power in my hands. Right? But we get in the way. We stop God from working in our lives, and we try to work out all things in our own strength. When the Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, fear means the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is an anointing from the Lord Jesus Christ. The spirit of the fear of the Lord only Jesus Christ had. So if you're going to work out your salvation in the fear of the Lord, you have to receive the Spirit of Christ that will manifest the fear of the Lord in you and enable you to be a holy vessel unto God. You cannot do that in your own flesh. Right? So work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Trembling means trembling at the word of God. Isaiah chapter 66 verse 2. Now how many of us tremble at the word of God? We don't even know what it means. I have trembled at the word of God for less than a second. At certain points when I have been writing, I have felt that. But to tremble at the word of God means you receive a very deep and high level of revelation where you actually see God. And when you see God, you tremble. You tremble not in fear, but you tremble in awe. The awesomeness of God. So what is God saying? If you need to see me, right? You need to see me. This victory can only be found if you can see the Lord. You have to fix your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to fix your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to ask God to manifest a revelation of Jesus in your life, because the revelation of Jesus is the revelation of the living God. That's why the Apostle John says in Revelation chapter 1 verse 17, right? In Revelation chapter 1 verse 9, he tells that I am in the island of Patmos, a prisoner for the testimony of Jesus. And then he hears a trumpet call, and he hears the loud voice of an angel talk to him. And when he turns around, he sees this person, whom he then goes on to describe. After describing him, he then says in verse 17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as a dead man. That's the only way you and I can die to self. Right? Paul looks at himself in Romans chapter 7 and he says, I've got this and I've got that. There is evil in me. I'm doing the things that I should not be doing. Wretched man that I am, who is going to help me? And then he fixes his eyes on Jesus and he says, thanks be to God who through Jesus Christ has given me a new life, a new hope. And immediately he sees a new reality. And that's what Christianity is built on. Jesus is the way. If you don't see Jesus, there is no way. If you keep on blaming people and looking at people and finding fault with people and finding fault with situations and circumstances, finding fault with the government, finding fault because of this is not right and that is not right, you are never going to get out of it. The only way you can get out of it is if you find the way, and the way is a person. The way, the truth, and the life. When you see the way, you will realize the truth. The truth will set you free, and it will be demonstrated in a new life. And that new life is his victory in your life. Right? You and I are duty bound to receive the victory of Jesus in our life so that we can speak that victory into somebody else's life. So that we can share that victory in somebody else's life. So that we can stand in positions of authority and release that freedom that comes in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what is the calling upon the church of Jesus Christ. Each and every one of us to know by the Holy Spirit a knowledge of Jesus Christ that will set us free, so that we in turn can testify of this, and it's the truth. How will you know that this is so? By the peace that passeth all understanding that is inside of your heart. Amen. So let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. To cultivate this peace, verse 4. Chapter 4, verse 4. Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always. No matter how bad things look like, rejoice in the Lord." You know, that is a battle in itself. It is not easy to rejoice when things are going the wrong way. If you wonder why God allows wrong things to happen inside of your life, why God takes you through suffering and tribulation, why God takes you through pain, it is simply because that you will learn how to fight a battle beyond what you see or what you experience. That you will learn how to rejoice. And you can rejoice if you realize the communion of the Lord in your heart. By the Spirit you can realize a joy. And that joy is the strength of the Lord. Right? Nehemiah writes, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." Right? So he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice." Why do you need to rejoice? So that you can draw by the Spirit the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ into you. Why? Because you have a battle you need to fight. And to fight the battle, you must first be strong. Yeah? To fight that battle, you have to be first strong. If you are weak, you cannot fight this battle. Right? So, what is the strength that you can rejoice in the Lord in the difficult situation that you are in? You have got no solutions. You're wondering what's happening. Why has the Lord left me high and dry? Why has the Lord put me in this kind of a situation where so many things stand against me? Why am I in this situation where I'm engulfed with fear? And the Lord is asking you to look to Him, to draw from Him. You have the ability to speak in tongues. Why do you speak in tongues? So that you can draw from God what you don't have in yourself. So that you can draw from God the mystery of Christ. Not just simply make a loud noise and beat the devil out. Right? But to draw from Jesus Christ what is hidden in the mystery of Christ. Yeah? So He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Right? "Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men, the Lord is near." Right? "Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men, the Lord is near." Right? If you keep on allowing the devil to take reign in your life, the devil is going to come and sit in your life. He's going to kill you, brother. Right? So he says, "Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men, the Lord is near." That's what it's all about. You have to discover Emmanuel for yourself. You've got to know the Lord who lives in you. The living God, the Creator God, is alive inside of you. And you are sitting there and you are grumbling about everything that is wrong outside of you. And the God who has got all power, the God who has got every gifting, the God who has got every anointing possible, the God who has got every gifting in His hand is in you and He is living in you. Right? Are you with me? All right. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Ask. Jesus said three words He gave us. Ask, seek, and knock. So practice those things. Don't just simply sit there and say, "Woe is me." Like Jeremiah said in the book of Jeremiah. Right? "Woe is me." You ain't going to go anywhere with "woe is me." Right? You've got to get out of that. The law has been fulfilled. The prophets have been fulfilled. Jesus Christ is alive inside of you by the Holy Spirit. Brother, you are not alone, but you have to cling to your God. You can't just simply allow the devil to beat the daylights out of you. Right? You've got to fight him every step of the way. You've got to take hold of the promises of God. You've got to declare them. You've got to keep your eyes fixed on the Lord. You've got to be willing to fight for that peace. And you will find, as you pray in tongues, you will find that peace will manifest. Sometimes it is only there for a short time. But in principle, God is telling you that peace can manifest. And He's asking you to go after that peace. He's asking you to go after that peace. Fight for that peace. Don't let that peace just go away and just give in to your flesh. Give in to your fears. Right? Fight it. Right? Fight it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. You have to fight it. Right? Okay. Praise the Lord. Now let's look at verse 7. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Right? "Shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." That's what we need. Right? Verse 8. finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. Verse 9, the last line, he says, practice these things and the God of peace shall be with you. Amen. When you practice these things, what are you doing? You're appropriating the word of God. You're taking hold of the word of God. And as you energize it in tongues, that word of God is going to be written in your heart. It is going to be formed inside of you. God is going to make covenant with you, brethren. The first thing that God did when he brought the children of Israel out was to make covenant with them. Unfortunately, in the Christian world, we have taught covenant as a big theological subject. But covenant is very basic to you and me being Christian. God wants to make covenant in your heart. Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant. That covenant is personal to your life. That's a covenant between you and Almighty God in the name of Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. It is the law of life. That covenant is the basis of the law of life. It is no longer a law that is practiced in the righteousness of man. It is a law that is lived by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus before the Father. And it is by the strength of the Lord your God that that covenant is maintained. You cannot maintain that covenant. You cannot be in covenant with God in your own strength. But by the righteousness of your God, you can be in covenant with God, and that covenant can grow, and that covenant can be sustained, and that covenant can be manifested in fruitfulness because of the greatness of your God. Can you see that? Right? You have to have a great vision of the Lord. That's why we are doing this series on the name of God. What is God telling us? That the name of God is intimate to us. Right? The name of God is intimate to us. God wants that name to be the basis of everything. The purpose of the word of God is so that God can explain himself to you. Not intellectually, but in your heart. A heart of flesh. And that flesh is the flesh of the Lamb. That heart of flesh is of the substance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right, and as we have said repeatedly in this teaching series, right? If you set your hope on Jesus Christ, the substance will be of him. Because faith is the substance of hope. And faith that is the substance of hope will yield you an evidence of what God has given you in Jesus Christ. It will bring into you the evidence of the nature and character of Jesus. It will bring into you the faith and the love of Jesus. It will bring into you the spirit and the life of Jesus. That's why there is peace, brother. That's why the covenant stands in peace. Because that peace Jesus purchased for you through the cross. And when he said, it is finished, and there was peace. And he surrendered his spirit to the Father. That peace he earned for us. That peace he manifested for us. As a price in his own merits. We need that. We need him. We need him to be alive in us. I manifested thy name to the men whom thou gavest me out of the world, he said. He said that just before he went to the cross. When the temple of Solomon was built, it was built in glory, right? The glory of the Lord manifested, right? Now let's look at what God is building here, right? John 17. John 17, verse 22. And what is Jesus saying here? And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one. Amen? So is the Lord doing the same thing? Far more powerfully. Right? What is the purpose of saving you and me? So that the glory of Jesus Christ can be manifested inside of us. Isn't it amazing what sort of a person Jesus Christ is? He pays a price for us and he says, Father, the glory that you are giving me, I give it to them. What sort of a person is this Jesus? Who will do that? That's why his name must be glorified. And if you are willing to glorify his name, his glory will dwell in you. To be able to glorify Jesus Christ is a victory. Because our nature is not like that. Our nature wants all the glory for ourselves. Right? So if you're willing to give glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, that is part of this victory that God wants to establish in your life. If you're willing to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, so that there is no more this love of the flesh. There is no more this love of the money. There's no more this love of the world. God fills all in all. It's a victory. Where did that victory come from? It came out of the heart of Jesus Christ. Because he loved his God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. He didn't simply teach that and preach that. He proved it through the cross. Amen? So this witness that is within us, spirit, water, and blood, right? 1 John chapter 5, verse 8. 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. He who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ has the witness in himself. And that witness that we have in ourselves is of spirit, water, and blood. Spirit came out of his cross. Right? Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Right? Blood and water. The soldier pierces him and out flows blood and water. Praise the Lord. So blood, water, and spirit is the spirit, is the witness of the cross. And that witness is what God wants to manifest in us. Amen? Are you with me? So Aaron's rod that budded is that witness that God defined in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ being brought to fulfillment and brought to fruitfulness in your life. Are you listening? That's why when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, that day was the feast of the first fruits. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And on the 50th day after his resurrection, out came the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Why? To complete the harvest, to bring in the fruit, right? So you cannot just be fruitful in yourself, in your own knowledge of Jesus Christ. It has to be by the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? Right? So the Feast of First Fruits was a harvest celebration. The Feast of the Pentecost was also harvest. So in between there were 50 days. 50 is 5 by 10. 5 is the number of grace. 10 is the number of completion. So how does God complete grace inside of you? In a fruitfulness that comes by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. And in that fruitfulness, right, peace is established inside of you. Right? That peace is a manifestation of grace that has been completed inside of you. Amen? That's what the Holy Spirit is striving in to bring inside of us. That resurrection of Jesus Christ, that victory of Jesus Christ over the evil one will be brought to fulfillment, will be brought to completion by the grace of the living God in each one of our lives. So we must see this, and we must fight this. Right? We must fight for this to be manifested in our lives. We have to fight. Right? We have to fight. You can pray in tongues. You can cling to Jesus. You can draw from him what you don't have. I'm not saying it's easy, but step by step by step by step, as you cling to him, you will see the victory manifest. All of us sitting here have seen some measure of the victory of Jesus already manifested in our lives. God has changed us. He changed us in the power that the Holy Spirit brought into us in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Yahweh Shalom. The Lord God who means to manifest a victory in your life. And as that victory is won, God establishes covenant in your heart. What is the importance of covenant? You can live by God through that covenant. You can live by everything that God has written into your heart through that covenant. Amen. Praise the Lord. So if you look at that Ark of the Covenant, it was first called the Ark of the Testimony. Then it was called the Ark of the Covenant. Because from the testimony comes the covenant. And then in the book of Samuel, it is called the Ark of His Name. The name of God. And then in the book of 2 Chronicles, it is called the Ark of God's Might, His Might. Praise the Lord. So all that God opens to you in Jesus Christ. Who is the testimony of God to you? Jesus Christ. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now what is the spirit of prophecy? It is the spirit by which all things will be fulfilled in your life. So from the testimony of Jesus, what does God want to fulfill in your life? He He wants to make a covenant in your heart. Amen? So if you have a ministry, it is part of your covenant. If you have an anointing, it is part of your covenant. If you have a gifting, it is part of your covenant. Right? So what does this covenant give you? Right? This covenant is given to you in a nature, in a character. Right? All molded in Christ Jesus. So the covenant is not just about promises, it is also about a character and nature. All that is defined in Jesus Christ becomes the basis of covenant. Because if you and I don't have the nature of Jesus Christ, how are we going to stand in covenant with God? So that Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Testimony, is also called the Ark of the Lord. Let's just look at that. Right? 2 Samuel chapter 6 verse 2. And David arose and went with all the people who were with him to Baal Judah, to bring up from there the Ark of God. Right? So the Ark of the Covenant is called the Ark of God, which is called by the name, the very name of the Lord of hosts. Who is called by the very name of the Lord of hosts? Jesus Christ. Who is God's Ark? Jesus Christ. Inside of him is everything that God has for the nations. Everything that God has with all for all creation. The book of Ephesians says that his fullness is to fill all in all. So where is all this? It is inside of Jesus Christ, and you and I are called to unveil what is in Jesus Christ and bring it out of our lives. That is our destiny as the body of Christ. Amen? So Jesus said, I manifested thy name to the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. Can you see that? Who carried the ark? A priesthood carried the ark. Who are we? We are a priesthood. So what is the ark that we are carrying? The ark that we are carrying is the name of Jesus. How do we carry this name of Jesus? By his testimony and by the covenant that stands in our heart in the name of Jesus. Can you see that? Amen? And in order to bring all this to fruition, let's turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Verse 41. Now therefore arise, O Lord God, to thy resting place, thou and the ark of thy might. Let thy priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let thy godly ones rejoice in what is good. Listen to the words. Huh? Now therefore arise, O Lord God, to thy resting place, thou and the ark of thy might. Where is this ark of the might described? It is described in Jesus Christ. How is it described in Jesus Christ? When Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. Let's read from verse 18. Let's read from verse 17. Right? A verse we are very familiar with. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. That is, in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. Right? Whose might? The Father's might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand. Right? In the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority. Right? And power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Praise the Lord. So when Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, the might of God was manifested in a strength in him. And there was a release of that power that's called dunamis power in him that is available to us. So the ark of the might of God is Jesus Christ. God manifested his might in the testimony and in the witness of Jesus Christ, right? In the name of Jesus, so that in that name power could be given. And that power is called resurrection power. And in that resurrection power, the sons of God will function forever and forever and forever and forever. In a covenant that God has written and formed in their hearts through an array of giftings and anointings that God is equipping them with, through a calling that God is developing in each and every one of our lives as we grow in the Lord. Can you see the picture? I'm drawing for you a big picture so that you understand that God is doing a great work. That we are not just playing church here, right? That the processes through which God is molding us is a process to make us morning stars. Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ is called the bright morning star. We are called morning stars. Now, how is this morning star going to manifest? Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 19. And so we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star arises, where? In your hearts. So where is God forming covenant? In your heart. Amen? He's fulfilling the word. And what is the word he's fulfilling? That word which comes to you in the fullness of Jesus Christ. That is the prophetic word. That is the prophetic word. That prophetic word is something, some measure of the fullness of the bright morning star. And it's being manifested inside of you. And as growing measures of this prophetic word are established inside of you, you see that God builds you in a growing peace. And in that peace you are strong, brethren. You are no longer affected by the same things that affected you 10 years ago. 10 years ago, if someone said something to me, I would get hurt and I would get very angry. Now there are a lot of things I can just, doesn't even bother me anymore. Now that doesn't mean I'm very, very strong, but I'm much stronger than I was 10 years ago. Right? God has built a peace in me, and there are things that don't bother me which would have bothered me 10 years ago. Right? And he's doing that in each and every one of our lives. And that peace is the victory of Jesus in your life and my life. Praise the Lord. So God's doing a good work, a patient work, a painstaking work, a creative work. So Ephesians 2:10 says that you and I are the workmanship of God, created in Christ Jesus. So brother, if you and I are created in Christ Jesus, everything is possible. You're listening to the word of God, not listening to your emotions and what is happening around you and what your mother-in-law said and what your father-in-law said and what your wife said this morning or what your son said this morning or what your best friend just betrayed you with this evening. All right? Right? We're not talking about things like that. We are talking about what God's word is saying. Are you listening to what God's word is saying? As you hear the word of God, what comes? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the rhema of God. Faith is substance, brother, the substance of Jesus Christ. If you and I receive the substance of Jesus Christ, we are a new creation, brother. All things are possible. It will take time, but it will definitely come. And when that if something of Jesus Christ manifests inside of you and me, it will come alive in a peace. I love Jesus. I love God. Because he has given me Jesus. The more I see of Jesus, the more I love God. And I bless him for the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the one who makes the revelation tick, isn't it? Right? The Holy Spirit is the one who manifests the revelation of Jesus in our lives and brings out a fulfillment. We are blessed. Blessed awesomely in the name of Jesus. Amen? Shall we pray? Bless you. Thank you that Yahweh Shalom. Father, we bless you and thank you, O Lord, for all that you have given us in the Lord Jesus Christ. So much to be received, so much to be realized, so much to look forward to, Father. And as we see that growing peace in our inward parts, we realize, Lord, that you are doing a magnificent work within us, a painstaking work, O God, a work of tremendous love and patience, Lord. A work, O God, of tremendous, O God, clarity, O God,
a work, O God, of tremendous, O God, perseverance, Father. So we just want to bow before you and thank you for being Yahweh Shalom. We thank you for the peace that comes to us in the blood of the Lamb. We thank you for the peace, O God, that is established in us, O God, in the victory of Jesus Christ. To you we give all honor and glory, worship and praise. In Jesus' mighty name.